the church is not the building. The church doesn't just come to church on Sundays. The church unites wherever they go every day, and that's where you need to be a witness, so we can saturate this city with our testimony, with the word of God, and that the people can see it, that it's evident in our lives. We all have a testimony of how Christ called us to Him, how He called us to serve Him, and we want to invite others that don't know Him, that they listen about the grace of God, that they listen to what God has done in our lives, so that they too have the hope that they can also experiment the grace of God in their lives. Our testimony is an example, a real example of what God has done in our lives. And it is a testimony for the people that see us every day. But we shouldn't just share it with people who don't believe, but also to those who do believe. Did you know that? We need to share our testimony with other people. We hear the testimony of other people, other believers. It makes us remember what Christ has already done in our lives and His grace, how it has transformed us. And at the same time, it helps us and it motivates us to continue moving forward. And also, it helps us to pray for those people that we listen to. In these 2 weeks, I've had the opportunity to hear a lot of testimonies, and I'm so impressed. If I had never asked them their testimony, I would have missed a lot. And a lot of you don't even know. A lot of you don't know about what God has done in other people's lives here in this very room. And I invite you to share your testimony with one another. In this book of Acts, we see that Paul came to Jerusalem, and he's been in prison, and he's been accused of teaching against Judaism, that he's trying to get rid of the Jewish religion. He's been accused of contaminating the temple. And this period lasts about 2 years. That all of it was false, and it wasn't true, but their desire was to kill Paul. That was very true. But Paul maintained his determination to share the word of God with everyone. And in this case, in this passage, he does it through his testimony. And that is something that we all should know how to do. How do we share our testimony with anyone? And I say, in 5 minutes, we should know how to share our testimony in 5 minutes and present the Word of God within that context. And this morning, that's what we want to see. How did Paul do it? And how does that help us to share our testimony with other people? In first place, let's look. That we should look for opportunities to share our testimony. Verse 37, notice that Paul is in prison, and he uses this opportunity to ask the tribune, the commander, for something. And God will provide those opportunities to you, so that you can share your testimony in the middle of chaos, in the middle of people that want to kill him. Paul said, hold on, may I say something to you? It's just incredible, Paul. It's incredible. Respectfully, he asked this man to allow him to speak. And he talks in Greek, and he asks if he can speak. And we see that Paul has a good disposition to share his testimony. And I have to admit that a lot of times I don't have good disposition to share my testimony. A lot of times I don't want to share anything with anyone. Paul doesn't do this. Paul is not aggressive. He's also not evading the situation. He is kindly looking for the opportunity, and God provides that opportunity to him. He kindly asked the opportunity to speak. We need to have that disposition at all times. We need to, just like we need to ask for forgiveness when we don't do it. But we have to be ready to give and share our testimony about Christ and what He has done in our lives, wherever we are. First Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. This is what we are to do. It is a real example of what Christ, what God has done through Christ. And that is why it's so important to look for those opportunities to share your testimony. You have to be ready to share it in the right context. Paul was accused of teaching in the synagogues things that were contrary to that religion, that Jewish religion, and they accused him of wanting to do away with the whole religion. And none of this was true, and Paul is going to explain to them why he teaches about Christ. But he is going to use his testimony. We need to look for opportunities to share our testimony in the context, in the right context, but always focused on Christ. How did Christ save us? How has Christ transformed us through His grace? If your life is focused on following your calling to be a missionary, to be a witness like Paul, you need to always be paying attention to the opportunities that God gives you to share your testimony. The tribunal permits Paul to talk to the people. And he speaks to them in Aramaic, their language. And he starts by noticing who he's talking to. Even in English, a lot of you can do it in English, even though it's hard. And some of you, it's hard for you to do it in Spanish. You have to learn to do it in Spanish. Paul uses his languages to adapt to the situation and share his testimony. And that is why we need to find opportunities to share. Second place, we need to present our testimony in a logical way and focused. Paul presented in a testimonial way the defense of the Word of God. He wants to show to them that the reason he shares his testimony is because of what God has done in his life. God has transformed him. God has called him to do this. And he is planting the and he left. Paul shares his past life. In Acts 22:3, in verse 2, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, brought up in the city, trained in the law of our fathers, zealous for God, as any of you are today. Paul started by telling them about his past life, what his life was like without Christ. So that's how you need to start. How was your life without Christ? Paul is a little different than many of us. First of all, Paul was very dedicated. Verse 4 says that he was very faithful to his own religion. He had studied under some of the people, the most important people during those times. 5 years, he already knew the law of Moses. At 10, he already knew the traditions. And at 13, he was already sent to be discipled. Wow, what if the Christians were like that, that at 5 years, we were already knowing all of this, and at 10, we were ready to share with others the Word of God. He was educated to show the law And he was a very strict Jew and a very jealous Jew. And he says there in verse 3 that he was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. He had stood out amongst those religious people. Why does he say this? He says this to them because he wants them to understand that he was like them and even more superior in religion. He did not have a need to go and look for another religion. He had everything. And Paul is taking this to them. God, he did not look for this. God is who did this. When you share your testimony, it's not to impress others. It's to show how Christ has saved you, has transformed you, and that these people can see that change in you, that they can feel that desire to follow God as well. Paul was a religious man, and I want to just describe what is a religion and what is Christian. The being Christian is one person. It's Christ. It's not an organized religion with rules that everyone has to follow. That's not what Christianism is. It's Christ. Also, second place, being Christian means that God wants you to know Him in a personal way through His Son Christ. It's not a religion that here is a God that is not personable, that is not engaged in your life. That's not being Christian. Biblical Christianism is that God wants you to know Him personally through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in third place, being Christian means that God gives you eternal life through His grace, through your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not faith through good deeds. And that's what Paul shows us from his past life. He was a religious man, jealous, no need for anything, no need to follow another religion. In second place, not only that, but he was a persecutor of the church. Paul was so jealous that it came to the moment that when this group races and is following the Nazarene man named Jesus, that they are contaminating Judaism. And Paul says that he started persecuting these followers of the way to Christ, and he was going to make sure that he got rid of this group of people. Paul said that. Paul says it. When you start talking about your past, don't spend too much time on your past. Use whatever you need necessary to share, just like Paul did. He doesn't go into too much detail, even though he does mention something about Stephen, because Stephen was important. He said, I was involved in this, how I was, he's trying to show how he was just a jealous religious man persecuting the followers. The point of you sharing your past is how your life was lost without Christ. And maybe he was religious, maybe not religious, but Paul knew that even though he was religious, he was lost without Christ. Listen to this quick summary of our friend Leslie through this video. Hello, my name is Leslie Mendoza, and I'm from Honduras, and I want to share a small testimony of my life. I started drinking alcohol, and I was taking a different attitude with my husband, Manuel. I was a very bad woman. I would dress seductively, short skirts, showing too much. And my way to talk to people was in a rude way. It was a crisis that I lived in, but something beautiful happened that I, God started showing me and put in my heart that I wanted to change, but I was still doing, committing the same sins, saying bad words, going out to drink with my mom. But I wanted a change, but the change never happened. But then in 1996, my brother-in-law was deported to Honduras, and he started studying for started studying as a pastor, and he started talking to me about the Word of God and taking me to church. And he gave me this small book that shares how your life can be changed if you accept Christ, if you tell Christ and accept Him in your heart. And one February 26, 1996, at 11 o'clock at night, I started to experience something, especially after reading this little booklet where it asks you and it mentions why Christ died for you. And at that moment, I read all the questions and I was marking the questions, and the last one said, "Do you want this night to accept Jesus and invite Him into your heart and have Him live in your life?" And I put yes. And immediately I started crying and feeling that change in my life. And I went to wake my brother-in-law up, because that night he was staying at our house, and he was crying to see that I had marked this option, yes, to accept Christ. In that moment, we prayed together the prayer of repentance from a sinner, and I told Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to forgive my sins and to change my life, because I wanted to be a new person. I wanted to change. I didn't want to have that same life full of disobedience. And it was a complete change for me at that moment. My life changed. Christ made a difference in my life. There you have a little bit of a testimony of our sister Leslie. It's about 5 minutes. You could see it later, even on Facebook. But we want to share our previous life. You probably didn't know that about our sister Leslie. But you see her now. She's so changed. I couldn't imagine how she was before. But you can see how Christ transformed her completely. And that's what Paul talks about in second place, verse 6 and forward. He also talks about the circumstances that took him to Christ. He shares with them how Christ confronted him, just like he confronted Leslie. And he showed him his sin in the wrong way that he was taking. But in this case, God does it in a different way, in a supernatural way. In Paul's life, it was a special case. Christ himself confronted him and called him. Today, he does it through his word. He's talking to you today, this morning, through his word. And if you have not met him, he's calling you to come to him. Paul seemed like he had everything, like he didn't need anything, but God called him and said, "No, Paul, you need me." He was blind, and he did not recognize that Christ was the Savior. He was religious. He was jealous. He was dedicated, and he wanted to stay in his religion, but he did not know Christ. Christ had to confront him. And this morning, if you have not had that encounter with Christ, you might be religious. You might have come to church many times, but until you have that encounter with Christ, you do not have eternal life, and you are not following Him. And Paul, when they call him, he talks about how he repented and he gives his whole life to Him. He was broken in front of God, and he gives his life to God, and he says, "What do I do, God?" You have to get to that point where you tell God, "What do I do, God? What do I do? I need you. And Paul, at that moment, gives his life to Christ. And the life of Paul changes. And now Paul, in verses 2 through 16, starts sharing that new life. God gives him instructions of how he needs to start this new life. God uses a person named Ananias to not just to confirm his faith, but also to look, to tell him what he's supposed to do, what his ministry will be. Every believer needs a person to help them, to disciple them. In this case, Paul is discipled by Ananias. If you're here, you need someone to disciple you. No one has discipled you before, maybe. October the 15th, we have a new class at 9:30 in the morning, and it's going to be part of the process to disciple. We want you to know what we believe, and it's going to help you to understand that. Paul is confirmed in the faith. It says Ananias was a faithful man of God. He had a good testimony within the Jewish area, community. God used him. God used Ananias to confirm the faith of Paul. And my question this morning to you is, who is your Ananias? Who is your Ananias? And if you've been a believer for many years, think, who is Ananias? Because there's a lot here in this church that need an Ananias. Maybe you're that person. It's confirmed in the faith. In verses 14 through 16, we see that he's called to the ministry. Ananias doesn't just confirm his faith, but tells him, God has called you for this. Look what it tells him. He says, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. You know, God could have said it directly to Paul. When he revealed himself to Paul, he could have said, Paul, this is what I want you to do. But you know what God did? He sent Ananias to tell him what God, what he was supposed to do for God. He confirms the faith. We all have a specific calling. It's your responsibility to pray and ask God to show you that way. Sometimes God is going to use other people in your life to show you what God has called you to do. This is what happened with me at 14. God called me to serve him. My vocation to him was to serve him in the ministry, but it wasn't immediately. I served in the church for many years as a youth, preaching when I was 15. But it wasn't until I was 25 that God called me to his ministry full time. And that's only 6 years. And I don't understand how God ordains things and organizes them, but I know that eventually, after 12 years, God calls me again to serve him, and that's why I'm here today. I don't understand what God does completely, but he's sovereign in my life and of yours, and he's going to guide you and demonstrate to you the ministry that he wants for your life. And I think that God has something for all of us. And Paul talks about this, how it happened in his life, how God called him, and explains that what I'm doing, it's because God confronted me and saved me, transformed me, called me, and now he has called me to share this message with you. So he gets to Jerusalem. And aside from that, it takes him more than 10 years in preparation before his ministry. God has called you as well to serve him, and he's going to direct your path. He's going to demonstrate what he wants in your life, and he's going to use people to guide you in the process. Verse 17 to 21, Paul tells them that he has been faithful to his calling from Christ. He continues to explain how God continues to guide him through a special relationship. God continues to demonstrate to him what he is to do. And also in Jerusalem, he says, in Jerusalem, no one's going to listen to you. This was, to me, a little awkward. God wants him to testify to everyone, especially the Jewish, but tells him, when you go to Jerusalem, they're not going to listen to you. Go away from there. That's very interesting. God knows where he wants you and when he wants you. I was reading a book this week, and the book said that we had to share with those that are interested in the Word of God. We don't need to force those that don't want to. That's very important, because this is what Jesus is telling Paul. They're not going to listen to you in Jerusalem. Go away from there. Get out of there. And Paul says, but they know my past, and that's why they don't want to listen to me. They knew. But God says, just get out of there. And God gives Paul the following order. He says, now I want you to go and share the word, not only with the Jewish, but with the Gentiles. And in verse 23, it says, go, because I'm going to send you far with the Gentiles. It's important to see how God transforms him by sending him to the Gentiles to share the message. And it's important that when you share your testimony, that you share those changes that God has done in your life and how you have been faithful to his calling and how you live in obedience to that calling. You need to be sincere, too, when you express your battles. And not pretend that you're a superhero, a spiritual superhero. You knew Christ and everything finished and now you're perfect. No, that's not how it is. You need to demonstrate that you were called to the Word of God and how the grace of God sustains you even throughout all your weaknesses. I've been having more than 30 years to being a believer, and God still is changing me in many areas. And what I've noticed, too, is that sometimes we might think in some areas, and then other areas come up, and it just never ends, that battle. I remember that before we came to Tyler, about 3 years ago, I had never understood what a panic attack was. I know that some of you know what it is, but I didn't even know what it was. But I started experiencing something like that so much that I remember it was a weekend and I was going to share in a class in the book of Acts. And during the service, I was so uncomfortable, and it was a sensation that I had, like you're going to die at that moment, that you're going to fall at that moment, and the ambulance is going to come and all. But you feel that desperation inside. And I said, I'm not going to be able to teach this class. I don't know. We were walking to the class after the service, and I thought, oh, the ambulance is going to come here. They're going to pick me up. They're going to take me. And no, I have to continue. And I didn't tell anyone. I just, in my mind, my wife knew. But even after I taught the class, but even during the class, I was thinking about what I was sharing. It was just something really awkward. I had never experienced something like this. And other battles come up. And I have to tell you that sometimes in your mind, those things, those sensations come to your mind. That desperation that you feel that something's going to happen to you. And it's still something that sometimes it comes back up, but your battles are not going to finish as a Christian. If you think that after 30 years and you're being Christian, your battles are over, no. Paul teaches them his life, how God transformed his life. And you have to understand, too, that we're in the process, but God is with us through every step, helping us. Listen today how his encounter with Christ changed him. Hello, my name is Jose, and I want to share with you a little bit of my past, my testimony. I feel like God has been calling me all my life, really. But 10 years ago is when I started to actually make changes, radical changes in my life. When my son was gonna be born, I left my whole life that I knew before. And I started living like a normal person, like the way I saw, the way I thought it was. And we came here to Texas, and I got a normal job in a hospital. Everything was good, apparently. I didn't do what I did before. But we still had problems, maybe even worse, especially between my wife and I, to the point that we were going to divorce. And that's when I knew that even though I had left that past, it was I still needed something, like I was empty inside. And one lady would call my wife, and one of the doctors would talk to me about Jesus, about this Jesus. And we all know God, but really, in reality, they would talk to us as if this Jesus was a person. And that's when we started going to a church. And it was September 29th, 4 years ago, that I heard a sermon about Saul, who became Paul. And it captivated me. How Jesus can change a person like that. And I relate so much to Paul. It was something very beautiful to know that God could still love you. And we started to go to church. We got baptized. We changed a lot of things. Our friendships, our music, our way of living turned. It was completely different. Well, this testimony is very long, and if we're not going to finish watching the video, but you'll have to talk to him. His testimony is incredible. Paul shares his testimony. Look at verse 22. It says, "The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, 'Rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live.'" They didn't even want to listen to this. It's his word. All to let you know this, your testimony is not always accepted the right way. There's going to be people that are going to reject your testimony, but God says that at that moment they're trying to kill him, but God protects him. God has not finished with Paul, because God has a plan for the life of Paul. And when we share our testimony, we cannot do anything about the results. God is who does the results. What can you take this morning to apply in your life? First of all, write your testimony out and practice it. 5 minutes. And if you want to know how, there's some small sheets of paper that in the back of the room of how to prepare your testimony. Second place, ask God to give you opportunities to share your testimony. Don't do it in an aggressive way. Just wait. Let God tell you the right way to do it. Third, share your testimony with Baylor. Share it with everyone, not just with Christian people. If you're a believer this morning and you have not experienced that change that Paul has experienced, that Leslie experienced, that Jose experienced, we want you to invite you this morning. You need to know that Christ died for you and your sins. You need to be saved and repent. You need to come to Christ and ask him, "What do you want me to do, Christ?" God is going to transform you. He's going to change you. And he's going to use your word, your life to bring others to you.